I will say, I don't know. Like, I'm a pretty cheery guy on Halloween. I love Halloween, right? I think I've said this before. I don't dress up on Halloween because they don't make Halloween costumes that span my girth. Now, you're going to say, well, go on Amazon. I don't know if you, like, as a plus size man, as a big and tall shopper, I don't buy any clothes that I can't try on first. Because, and I learned the hard way on Chinese eBay from China. I learned the hard way that they're like, oh, yes, 4XLT, 3XLT, 2XLT. And then you get it. And I remember, like, I got a Danny Shelton jersey. This is how long ago it's been since I've dealt with China. But I remember I got a Danny Shelton 3X jersey. I got 3XLT. And it was, except the place that your head goes through. And so it was like a tie. It was like a guillotine around my neck. And I loved it. It was the new Browns jerseys. It was all orange one, which actually didn't look like crap. Unlike all the other iterations of the new jersey, I was so excited. And I put that sucker on, and you could just hear that my windpipe was constricted by this. And I would take it off, and there would be the lines in my neck from where it was cutting into my skin. So what we figured out is we measured it, and they put a child's large opening for your dome on a 3XLT uniform. Yeah, I don't know why I call it a uniform. It's a jersey. But granted, I was from China. So when I go on, but still, the same thing happens if I buy clothes. So I can't do that. But I love me some Halloween. I really love me. I love any holidays. I just do. Like, life is so short. Embrace it. Have fun. Dress like a doofus. Have a matching uniform. Words are hard. I have a matching costume with your wife. Yeah, we'll make fun of you. But in the end, if she smiles 10% more, do it. All right? Life is short. And that's exactly why I have to now gripe about Jed Wills being back at practice. There is only one acceptable way that Jed Wills waddles out to be the left tackle this Sunday. And that's if you have some semblance of an idea that on Monday or maybe Tuesday morning, you can ship his ass elsewhere. I just am over this. With all due love and respect to Laser Eyes and Coach Kev, the young men there, over all the analytics staff, don't know what half of you do. Play Minecraft a lot. I'm assuming that's what they do. That's what all the youth do. With all due respect, stop. If I have to watch Jed Wills play left tackle one more time, and it's not to trade his ass, I think I'm going to stop respecting you. It's that simple. I know that sounds harsh. I've kind of been teetering anyways because I've seen Andrew Berry's draft record. And I've seen Kevin Stefanski's leadership style. So there's already things about both guys. Again, neither of those rises to the level of fireable, which is a whole other point I have to make later in the show as it pertains to Ryan Day. There's, I don't think you're doing a good enough job. And then there's, I'm going to fire you. Those are actually two different conversations. So this isn't, if you play Jed Wills, this isn't a threat, right? I'm not going to come out on Monday and be like, fire these clowns. No. But I just can't do it. The lies have been told. We've made it work for the kids. Kids are Browns fans. That didn't sound great. Sorry about that. Restricted. Or rescinded. That was the word I was looking for. But I can't do this with Jed Wills anymore. I don't care that he's healthy. Like, I shouldn't have to ask my favorite team to have guys who play through the whistle. I just shouldn't. The non-negotiable thing. I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care where you played college ball. I don't care that, honestly, I think you might be more comfortable on the right side of the line, and maybe you have a second career post-Cleveland as a really nice right tackle in the NFL, or at least a guy that bounces around for another 5 years because, well, there aren't a lot of offensive linemen of a specific caliber, which is just good enough. I don't care. If Jed plays on Sunday, I'm gonna wait till Tuesday. Maybe. I'm gonna wait till Tuesday. But if you're not playing him this week to ship him somewhere else, I just don't know what we're doing anymore. Because for almost 5 years, I have heard, well, who else are you going to put over there? And when I've said anybody else, well, but they're not going to be as good. And my retort has always been, but will they play through the whistle? And again, because this is a very specific accusation I'm making. And when you make this, you'll notice, guys, I don't go personal with a lot of players. I might make fun of people. That's not personal. It's just I have a warped sense of humor. But when very, 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 very rarely will you ever hear me call out a guy for playing hard. Because some of that is subjective and we're not in the room. The Browns have told you for 4.5 years, well, we just need Jed to play through the whistle. And for 4.5 years, I've seen Twitter sleuths come out with multiple instances where Jed either lets really good football players, the kind that you should pay attention to on Sunday, it's not the backup safety who's kind of creeping up off the edge, that, well, that's out of his periphery. Of course, he's paying attention to Trey Hendrickson. No, I've seen Jedrick Wills for 4.5 years disregard obvious great players coming through the line. And I've seen him turnstile in Ole for 4.5 years. And then, even if the quarterback gets out of it, his play's over. Because he realized he let the guy go by. Or he just doesn't know what to do next. It's done. It's a failed pick. Sunk cost. Stop. And I'm going to continue to use this conditional speech because I want to be open. Because I want to live in a world of possibilities where a team rewards guys who play hard, who play through the whistle, and I want to and say to guys who don't, sorry, Charlie, hit the bricks. We're going to find somebody who can. I know you're not going to cut him. He's making $15 million guaranteed. He's on the payroll. And the only way you're really getting off this situation before the end of the season is pretty simple. It's if somebody agrees to take on some of the money and trade you a draft pick for him. Understood, got it. He doesn't have to play. I know Jed's got injuries. I also know that it sucks when you hear somebody ranting and raving about your performance on the radio, and so I'm sure this isn't a pleasant experience for him. But after last week, it is unconscionable that you would not put DeJuan Jones back out there and that you would go back to Jed Wills. Well, you know, it's tough when a guy loses his job due to injury. Not when it's warranted. Not when one of the basic necessities of being a football player is do you play through the whistle. Jed has not done that consistently for 4.5 years. And if the Browns can't see that, I'm simply going to type Jedrick Wills into the search bar on Twitter and then pin their eyes open like clockwork orange until they say, okay, I get it. He doesn't play through the whistle. And again, I'm not saying that I know definitively, because I don't have to, because Bill Callahan said it for 4 straight years. Because if Andy Dickerson wasn't on a milk carton, and we actually heard from Andy Dickerson, I think that's more like if anybody wanted to hear from Andy Dickerson, he didn't quite have the cachet. No offense, Andy. Now I realize that's kind of an eraser phrase. But he didn't have the cachet of Callahan. You want to hear Callahan talk because he's never had a legend. Andy Dickerson's still making his bones as an O-line coach. I'm trying to untake that shot. I realize we might as well just stick and move. But I guarantee you, if Andy Dickerson was talking about Jed Wills, and I asked, are we still talking about Jed Wills playing through the whistle? I guarantee you Andy Dickerson in an honest moment would say, yeah, that's still the conversation, which is fine. If Jed doesn't love football, it's fine. It's okay if he really wants to be a painter. It's really okay if he's just really into, like, Pikachu. Or what's that? What's Pikachu a part of?
Pokemon?
Yeah, what's the other one, though? It's like the form of Japanese cartoons.
Anime.
Anime. If he loves anime, there's no judgment here. All right? Again, life's short. All right, live your life, King. You're a big dude. Do whatever you want. Become a bouncer. like learning the guitar. I don't care. But I cannot fathom another Sunday of watching Jed Wills ole. And I can't listen if anyone wants to fake like that dude is finally going to do it this week. If you're playing him because you're shopping him, I get it. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to get it. But if you play him this weekend and I have to see too many more Olays, and then he's on the roster Wednesday, I'm going to go back to your priorities suck. The easiest win on the planet is not playing the guy that doesn't play hard. 216-474-0092. That's not what the segment was going to be about, but I blacked out. Danny Cannell, college football analyst, the Cover 3 podcast, CBS Sports HQ next, talking about Ryan Day's future on 92.3 The Fan. I know my next guy might actually be part of this club because he's a cool guy, he's a nice guy, he's a family guy. Danny Cannell now joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny joins the show courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 10 lines.
Danny, I got to ask you, buddy. One, welcome to the show. We appreciate you. It's been a while. Hope you're doing well. Do you hand out full-size candy bars at Halloween?
Absolutely. Happy Halloween, by the way. You got to go king-size Snickers. Are the best way to go for the best gifts to give out. Those are Reese's, but absolutely, you got to go full size. You can't give out the little stuff.
I kind of feel like if my guy is putting this on social media, there's a pretty Spartan picture that I'm looking at here. I kind of feel like it's a front, right?
It could be. It sounds like it might be. I think it could be. So is he putting pictures up? Like he's trying to, is it a subtle flex of him trying to put out the bigger candy?
That's what I think he's trying to do. And it's he's a humble guy, and I feel like he's lost here.
I think he might need some help. I think he might need to dial it back. You know, years ago, I had a little issue with my wife because she is a health conscious freak. And so she doesn't like giving out candy. And she was trying to give out like healthy like candy. And I told her, I said, look, we're going to get our house egged or toilet papered or vandalized in some way if we don't give out real candy. So we had to nip that in the bud before it got too out of control. So that's the kind of stuff I have to deal with in my house. So I took over candy, giving out the candy to trick-or-treaters. And then I turn all the lights out, put some strobe lights on, and terrify them when they come by. So, yeah, I had to take over the whole routine there for Halloween night.
I dated three straight Katies, different people, three straight Katies in college, and third Katie, as I called her, because she was my least favorite of the three Katies. She tried to give out apples 1 year, and it was for Halloween. It was the year that I did not spend that night with her, and that was the night that I think we broke up. I'm not saying it was the candy or not the candy.
That'd be a deal breaker. That'd be a deal breaker. I remember as a kid, I mean, there might have been a few eggs lobbed at some houses that gave out apples. Man, it's just something you don't want to be doing.
It's just Halloween justice. Danny Cannell on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm only asking you this because it has been a topic on this station, not shared by me, but it is a topic. Is Ryan Day coaching for his job this weekend?
Oh, man. He's not. He's very clearly not. But it just makes things so uncomfortable, right? And it makes for probably a next year where, I mean, even saying that, though, is insanity, right? I mean, he's been an unbelievable coach. He's made it all the way to the playoffs a couple times. He came up just short against Georgia and was a missed field goal short of beating Georgia and probably going on to win the national championship. But I'm fully aware of what happens there in the state of Ohio with you're the head football coach for the Buckeyes, is that pressure is ratcheted up, especially when you see Michigan, your biggest rival, going back-to-back-to-back in Big Ten titles, getting a national championship, running the table and doing that. Then all of a sudden it ratchets up the pressure, and then you've got not one but two former coaches in Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel telling people before the season started, this is the most talented roster in the history of the Ohio State football program. So knowing all of that, it makes things uncomfortable. I don't think even the most crazy fan would have to admit he's done a pretty good job. If they lose this game, it makes things uncomfortable, but I don't think he's coaching for his job by any means. And they could still get in the playoffs. Like, I know that's it'll make things trickier, but they could still get in the playoff and potentially make up for this one. Now, if we talk in another month and you have the same question about Michigan, then I think it's a different answer, especially considering the season Michigan is having. But we're talking about a top five program, and Penn State is playing really good football right now. So I think people would probably be able to swallow that pill, even though it wouldn't be very comfortable.
Am I crazy to think a loss to now number one Oregon and a loss to top five Penn State team, that a two-loss Ohio State, if they win out despite that, you know, in spite of those two losses, that's like an obvious playoff team? Like, two losses should absolutely get you in when we're talking about at least a 12 seed or an 11 seed is going to have three losses, right?
I think so. Well, the three-loss team, even from the SEC or one of these blue-blood programs with three losses, I don't think they get in. The thing that you mentioned there, and I think this is where it kind of matters what this game looks like, the game against Oregon was a second away from winning that one, so that's a good loss if there ever was one, and Oregon looks like they're going to be potentially the number one overall seed if they continue playing the way they are. And if Penn State does beat Ohio State, and I do not see a scenario where Penn State blows out Ohio State. Like, I think it'd be a close game worst case, if Ohio State did lose it, then yes, I think those would be two good losses. The only thing that I would want to see is what's their best win then? Like, who have they beaten? And you really try to have to sell on two good losses, which, like you pointed out, against those teams, I think it would put them probably at the top of the line of the two-loss teams that would be starting to stack up.
So with this, Danny, I'm looking at this game. Ohio State's a 3.5-point favorite, but it is in Happy Valley. That home field advantage might be a 5-point swing. So, I mean, it does tell me that I think Vegas has some faith here in not making this more of a pick'em game. How do you see these two teams matching up?
Oh, I think it's an incredible matchup. I mean, I do think Penn State probably has one of their best rosters that they've had in the 7 years since they've won this the last time, and Ohio State's been so dominant. But the interesting thing are the injury storylines coming into this game. Bo Pribula had to come in off the bench for Drew Aller last week, although I do think Drew Aller's going to be fine. I saw a video of him practicing. I think he's okay. But the injuries are starting to mount up for the Buckeyes, and that's what has me concerned for them in this spot, which is going to put more pressure on Will Howard and more pressure on the Ohio State front seven to shut down Penn State's run game. So I think this is going to be a lower scoring game because Penn State's defense is really good. And like, the offensive line is really starting to get banged up, down a couple, left tackles. You're having to shuffle guys around. I don't think it's going to be one where they're just able to move the ball at will against Penn State's defense. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I really like the under. And I think it's a field goal game. So I like Penn State as a home dog with that 3.5. That 3.5 is huge because I do think it'll come down to a field goal.
So I've watched Aller a few times. And granted, he's a Medina kid. I'm like 10 minutes down the road from where he's from. So I got a soft spot anyways. He wanted to go to Iowa State. They didn't want him. Every time I watch this kid this year, I kind of see a top 10 pick in the NFL. Am I crazy for that? Because I think he's got all the traits.
Nick, I think so too. Now, he's had to make progress over his career, and he has. Like, this year I do feel is sort of a breakout year for him, especially the game in L.A. against USC. I thought that was his last.
Let's see. Please hold. We're going to see if we can get Danny back on there. He had me, hooked on the Drew Aller stuff. And by the way, Danny Cannell joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And also, Danny joins the show courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football Week 10 lines.
Like, when I see Drew play, he is 6'5", 240, athletic, great arm. And Danny, you were kind of in the middle there giving us the Aller answer, if we can kind of just pick up where we left off.
For sure. No, Nick, I see the same thing. I think a top 10 pick is what he's been, and he's really developed and made the next step. I thought the USC game, he had a fourth down conversion late when they were trailing to put them up that I thought was huge, and I thought it was like a career-defining type of throw for him. I see a little bit of Josh Allen, maybe a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger, like that big body type who's also mobile enough to make plays outside the pocket, big physical body with a cannon for an arm. And this year, he's been able to kind of open it up and showcase it. He's got a weapon in Tyler Warren, who he's really gained four with. I wish he had a receiver who would step up. And that's the other thing. In the last couple of years, Penn State has really lacked like that true number one receiver that the Buckeyes have had. You know, the Buckeyes have had all these first round picks. Penn State hasn't had a receiver that really strikes much fear. And yet, Drew Aller's been able to still move the ball downfield in that system. So I see the same thing you do, and I think the NFL scouts will think the same thing.
Looking to Michigan, they host Oregon this weekend. I think the line is 14.5 points here. Do you give Michigan a realistic chance to beat Oregon? And if so, what has to happen?
I do, because it's college football in 24, right? I mean, this season has been just wild. We had Vanderbilt beat Alabama the week after Bama beat Georgia, right? I mean, it's just, it's been a wild ride. I don't know, and I think Oregon's awesome. Like, I think they're the number one team in the country, and Michigan is still searching for a quarterback. I mean, they've played four different guys at that position throughout the season, and they're going back to the guy they started the season with because one of the quarterbacks retired due to concussion. So it's been a wild ride for them, but I do think this will be one of the more physical fronts that Oregon will have faced on the road. Yes, they faced Ohio State, but that was in Eugene, home crowd. And Michigan is not a very good football team, but I do think they'll be able to keep it inside the number. It just seems a little bit too easy to me. Like, I think Oregon is clearly the better team, but Michigan trying to just pull off one win would sort of, you know, really put a stamp on the season and say, hey, we haven't gone anywhere. And I do think that defense with guys like Mason Graham, who's a first-round pick on the defensive line, they've got a couple D tackles that really can provide some problems and slow down Oregon's offense. And then I think they'll be able to run the ball somewhat on Oregon's defense as well with Kalel Mullings and Donovan Edwards. So I think they're going to try to slow the pace of the game down, keep it away from Dillon Gabriel and that Oregon offense, and do just enough to cover. I don't think they win outright, but it wouldn't shock me just because of what I said about college football being so wild this year.
Danny, excellent stuff as always, buddy. Excited to have you. Of course, we have the playoff selection. Are the first rankings coming out next week. You're the best, buddy. Happy Halloween to you and your family.
Appreciate it, Nick. Man, leave out the big candy. Leave out the big bars.
The big candy is for me, too. I'll share it, but I'm still going to break off a piece of that for me, Danny.
All right, we'll see you. Have a good Halloween.
You too, buddy. Danny Cannell there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny joined the show courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football Week 10 lines.
Ohio State and the dangers of normalizing unrealistic expectations in college football next on 92.3 The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.